Yes, we're back. It's the 3 Juventinos podcast show. I'm your host, Ricardo Santamaggio. It is show number 68. And first off, an apology to our loyal listeners out there. We've had a couple of things happen in the family, and it's been taken up most of our time. But I do apologise, and tonight's show is a call-in show, which will have Juventino Marco Fiorenzi joining me on the phone to discuss the world of Juventus and especially what is going on with our club. I am lost for words watching the game here in Melbourne last night, and it was a joy to watch it at a reasonable time at 10:30 p.m. in Australia time zone, which was fantastic to sit back, crack open a Peroni Red and watch the game. But what rubbish are they handing out to the fans? You know, it is beyond belief what has happened in the last 7 games and how many points we've dropped in the title race, especially the game against Inter. We probably knew it was over, the title race, but what is going on? What is going on to our, you know, our club that we love so much? What is the players, why aren't they performing? I mean, I get it. The manager, you know, is there to run the show, but the players have been so disappointing. And look, as much as we love Juventus, we all do, and it really breaks my heart to see what is happening. And I just really hope they can turn this around pretty quick because, you know, we're basically 5 points in front of Bologna and a couple other teams behind them, Roma and, you know, Atalanta, that are further back. But I can't accept what has been dished out by Juventus. And, I think we were all really frustrated because the quality of players that we got in our, on the park and the list we've got, you'd think we'd be doing better. But I think this mentally, this something is wrong. I said it after the Empoli game. I found it to be that the players aren't playing for Max and just individual moments of players. I'm disappointed with Chiesa. I'm disappointed with Locatelli. But most of all, I'm actually disappointed with the manager. But anyway, look, we'll get Juventino Marco Fiorenzi on the line and we'll dissect, talk, and get our frustrations out tonight. So is that Marco Van Basten on the line here?
It certainly is. Good evening, Ricardo.
Mark, how are you? How am I? the intro here, I've just explained how disappointed I am, and as a Juve fan, and we are as Juventus family, to watch the rubbish that they are dishing out. And it is becoming a problem that I feel if something doesn't be like if something's not done very soon, this can end up pretty disastrous.
Disgusting and disastrous, all the D words. In a week when, correct me if I'm wrong,
yep,
we're celebrating our 2nd year anniversary of our beloved 3 Juventinos podcast.
Yes, that is right. That is right.
You've called me in, so we aren't doing this like we usually do. Oh, thank you.
No, I did apologise to our loyal listeners. I just explained to them there's been some family issues and also there's been some little bit of tragedy with one of our Juventino members of our club with a passing of their son. So our hearts go out to Rob. Yeah, Rob and Felicity. We're thinking about you guys at this really tough moment. And, and on top of that, you know, like, what are we watching with Juventus and how it affects us, all Juventus fans around the world, because I can't watch them.
Hurts. I'm assuming you started with Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train, usually do.
Yeah, we do.
Well, you know, our podcast has been going 2 years. I was talking to someone over the weekend and talking about maybe the podcast has got to evolve. I thought, tonight, if there's ever a night, we should be playing a song that also features prominently on our podcast. But maybe it should have, you should have started the podcast with a Ricardo. And maybe I should have ran me fast off here, but I really think Van Halen's jump would have been appropriate tonight to open the show.
All right. Take two. Podcast 68, three Urantinos. We're hitting the two-year mark, and let's play jump. And tell me, Mark, why are we playing jump? Because I sit in our group chat today. I'm willing to jump off the Westgate Bridge here in Melbourne, Victoria. Because I am over what rubbish has been dished out. I mean, come on.
Look at the positive. Up until this morning, there were three, or up until this time last night, there were three types of pressing in football. As you also pointed out on our little WhatsApp group, up until this time last night, there was high pressing, which we see from Manchester City. Yep. They displayed it in abundance against Copenhagen recently in the Champions League when they put them to the sword.
Yep.
Midfield pressing by Bayern Munich. Again, we saw that in the Champions League recently when they put our friend Lazio out of business. And our old manager, Maurizio Sarri, who needs, I remind you, is the last manager to win a Scudetto with Juventus.
Right on that one.
And then there's counter-pressing displayed by Jurgen Klopp's heavy metal-style Liverpool.
Yep.
We saw that against Slavia Prague in UEFA.
Europa League.
Yep,
that's right.
But Juventus has entered into the world of pressing with their own type of pressing. You know what that pressing is, Ricardo?
What is it?
Depression.
Mark has nailed it. He's nailed it. Now,
and that's why you want to jump, isn't it?
But honest truth is, how can you play a first half of a game? I think it was the 42nd minute. You literally have an opportunity at the 42nd minute. It was very embarrassing to watch.
It was, I think, so far this season, probably the most unwatchable Juventus game I've certainly seen.
Okay.
It was really, really uninspiring. Against a team who is in 12th, have lost their last two, I think, conceded five goals.
Yep.
Showed no initiative to take shots on goal.
They didn't look like scoring, didn't they, Mark?
Genoa weren't interested, but we never looked like scoring. We were just totally ineffective. Here's some stats for you and our listeners. Juventus attempted 17 shots, but only two were on target. A staggering 11 of those 17 shots were blocked. Dusan Vlahovic, who we'll talk about more no doubt later, he took seven shots, none, a big fat zero, were on target, four were blocked.
Yep.
With all those attempts on goal, Juventus's XG, or expected goals, at the end of the 90 minutes was just 1.01. Gets even more depressing, though.
Yeah.
In the final 20 minutes, when you'd think we've got our backs against the wall because up until the 70th or so minute, we'd played our last seven matches, we'd only won one. We'd had three draws and three losses. You think we're going to go for it now. Health of leather. Hopefully we see a bit of the Rugani-inspired Frosinone performance and we'll go for it in the last 20 minutes. But no, what was our XG in the last 20 minutes?
Tell me.
Point 0.38. That is absolutely disgusting. This was to me like throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping some of it sticks. Just was uninspiring, devoid of ideas. Let's just have a go, hoof the ball up. When Gutsy is throwing
coffee, he's played like a striker in the first half.
Or putting crosses into the box. You know you're at sixes and sevens.
Insane, Mark. Let's get into it. Match day 28 of 38. 10 to go. Playing at home. 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Australian time on a Sunday night. Cracking open a Peroni beer to watch a 0-0 draw. Shots 17-5. 2 on target, as you said. Possession 67% to 33%. The accuracy was around 84 to 72. Fouls 11 each. 2-1 on the yellow cards. 1 red, which we'll talk about after.
Yeah.
2 offsides to Juventus, none to them. 12 corners to us to 2 to them. And basically, that makes us sit in third position. Bologna's 5 away. And Mark and our listeners, where do you see Juventus? Now, I'm going to read this quickly. The run home. Lazio away. Bogey team. Home to Fiorentina.
New manager too.
Yep. Home to Fiorentina. Away to Turin. Away to Cagliari. Cagliari, you know, they can be that pop-up. Home to Milan. Away to Roma. Sell my nuts, Salernitana, which have given us a hard time the last couple of years. Bologna away and Monza at home. So can you tell me and your the listeners that listen to our podcast, where do you see Juventus winning a game in that last 10?
Well,
I can't see it,
brother.
Can't see it.
Well, not wanting to remain on this depressing chain of thought, but in order to look forward, let's look back.
Go for it.
You said we've got 11 games.
Oh, let's 10. Look at our 10, game, 10 games? 10. But yeah, 10.
Yeah, 10. 11, that's right. The statistic I read was Coppitalia.
Yeah, oh, okay. Coppitalia. Even Coppitalia. Let's
add it. Let's just look at Serie A because for me, that really is the priority. I mean, a Coppitalia final would be icing on the cake, and obviously a trophy would be really good.
Yep.
But let's be honest, if we won the Coppitalia but came fifth, we'll be really. We won't be saying, oh, well, at least we won the Coppa Italia and we're in the Europa League.
Kiss my sister-in-law cup.
I could care less.
If
you beat us in the semis, but we get third or fourth in Serie A, I'll take that over a Coppa Italia in fifth.
Yeah.
But in order, I'll just go, as I was saying, in order to look forward, let's go back. I mean, that's 10 games in Serie A. What did our last 8 games look like?
Do you know what games are what we won and drawn and lost? Do you know? Have you got that on your list there? Yeah. You're more than welcome to go for it. Go for it.
Last 8 games, 1 win. That was against Frosinone at home.
Lucky.
Where Rugani, we were extremely lucky. I you know, we did that podcast later that night.
Yep.
And I started it with 90 minutes, 90 emotions.
90
that
emotions.
Says it all.
The A-League's motto.
That's what that game was, and that was our only win in the last 8. Yeah. Then 4 draws, one of which was against Genoa this morning, and 3 heavy, depressing losses. You know, Inter, we kind of, you'll take that. You'll expect that the way they've been playing. Yeah. Hey, kudos to them. I was an Atletico Madrid supporter for 120 minutes. I'm sure you were too.
Oh, mate, definitely was. That was
But you know we're playing bad football when you are saying I'm an Atletico Madrid supporter. You know that your team is not doing well when you're losses.
But the reality is, what can we be happy about?
Well, one win in the last 8. That's what we can be happy about.
Honest truth
and
is,
3 losses. It's really scary. And a lot of those matches, Ricardo, were against teams. Udinese, they beat us. Hellas Verona, we drew.
Mm-hmm.
Genoa this morning, you would have expected 2 months ago that if I would have said, okay, here's our next 8 matches, where do you think we'll lose? You'd probably say possibly against Inter.
Yeah, that's right.
And where do you think we'll draw? And considering the way we were playing this time in January, you would have said, oh, I actually don't even see us drawing. The way we play at the moment, I think
we should win most of them.
7 and possibly win and lose one or draw one, and that's against Inter. Now, you've rattled off teams like Fiorentina.
Mm-hmm.
They always are fired up against us.
Yep.
Torino, Turin Derby, Milan, who are in the mix for the Champions League.
Lazio.
Bologna, who are in the mix for the Champions League.
Lazio,
who have got a new coach.
Always bogey team for us.
Always a bogey team. There's a hell of a Cagliari on the road. Salernitana, who you've said.
Bologna.
Bologna, I mean, there are some very tricky matches in that, and we cannot afford to slip up anymore because Bologna is now only 5 points behind us. And if you look at their last eight.
I've got the list here. I can read it out if you want. So Salernitana at home, away to Frosinone, home to Monza, away to Roma, Udinese at home, Torino away, Napoli away, Juve at home, and Genoa.
We might end up with a consolation prize. And I'm not.
Very worried, Mark. I am so worried. Mentally
you
gone.
Know what the consolation prize, you know what the consolation prize might be? Which, look, in a year's time, we might say, oh, well, it's just taken a year more.
Tell me.
But this may well happen. They might end up fourth. And we end up with the consolation prize. Not the Europa League, but Bologna's coach.
Well,
Thiago
Motta. I reckon that sounds pretty good. But
you want to be in the Champions League. You don't want to be in the doldrums for yet another season. Because who then?
Yep.
I think I can read your mind. You're going to say, but. Were you going to say, but how many players do we risk losing if we don't
make it? Well, that's what I was going to say to you. So I reckon we'll dissect this game and then in our middle part of our podcast tonight, we will talk about that because there is a lot to talk about players that I believe do not deserve to be wearing the jersey, players that do not deserve to get game time, i.e. Kostic, and a couple more on top of that. And thirdly, the manager and our mentality as we play as a team. Because at the moment, it is gone. And it's been gone since the Empoli game. So, in saying that...
It's a long time.
You know, I struggled to get the best player in this game. Honest
Very
truth.
Tough.
I struggled. And I was... What's the words would I say? I was... disgusted, I was horrified, and I was even more horrified after the game what Max said at the press conference.
Oh, to the journalist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in saying that, Mark, what was your positive in the whole game? Because I struggled to find a positive. That's the first time in a game that I've, like even us doing this podcast for 2 years, I struggled to find a positive.
I'm going to be sarcastic and say, well, I find not only one, but two positives in this, Ricardo.
Pinzoio making the coffees or yelling on the sideline? I don't know, making the lavasses? I don't know, but.
I don't know if that's a positive because as we've said countless times, he's got to be the most highly paid barista in the world.
Guys, the best job in the world, 250 euros in his pocket, yelling and screaming on the sideline and making lavazzas, mate. How good's that? And ringing up Ronaldo and his family still today. I mean, that's legendary stuff.
He was the only Juventus player. Ronaldo had a birthday, one of the 4 years that he was with us. He had four birthdays, but he had a birthday party. And Pizzoglio was the only player that got invited by Ronaldo to his birthday. He's a popular guy. That's why he's paid so well.
That's why I think he's like, you know, in every team you got a bandwagon supporter, but he's that real fanatical supporter that you see him all the time. He's like the Botana, the hemorrhoid. He is the hemorrhoid of Juventus. Damn, he's got a good job. But Mark, I'm lost.
Oh well, look back to my positives. It's not one but two positives that I can find. One, we kept the clean sheet. Now that's actually an accomplishment when you look at our last 7 or 8 weeks.
There you go, clean sheet.
You know you're clutching at straws.
Oh, mate. Come on.
In this awful, awful run of form.
It is.
And look, the second positive is that when Mattia Di Ciglio is in the match day squad, we never lose a game.
And that's porcelain. Porcelain, man.
That's what's happened. Remember Mattia made of glass Di Ciglio? When he's in our match day squad, I think he was in our match day squad in round one against Udinese. That was a lot of copies ago. We beat them 3-0. He hasn't been in the match day squad since, but he was today, and we didn't lose. So there's a positive. More Mattia Di Ciglio, please.
You know what? He's Max Allegri's love child. I'm telling you, mate. It is ridiculous. But to him and Sandro, I don't know who's there. Tell you, mate.
That's the best I can do in terms of finding positives here, because it's just all downhill from there. You know, do you want me to recite those XG stats to you again?
I'll go for it, mate.
The number of blocked shots. I mean, it was just really, really woeful. We had all those attempts on goal. There was no fluidity.
No
real signs that a goal was actually going to happen outside of Bailey Jr. hitting the post of Vlahovic's couple of headers in the space of, I think, about 9 minutes, which he really should have done better on.
Yep.
But it wasn't pretty. It wasn't effective. Last 20 minutes, as I said earlier, when you think that we'd really go for it, XG was actually lower than it was in the first 70.38. So it's just really, really scary. And the problem is it's come at a, I think, others might say it's possibly come at a good time, but I think a bad time, because we're now going to go into an international break. You'd like to think that if you had time, you'd work on things, so on and so forth. And try to, I don't know, try and get these players to change their mindset.
Mark, I want to ask you,
how
do you get out of this slump? Because I see the players that have no respect for the manager. That's what I see. I don't know how you see it or other fans see it, but I can't work it out, mate, because if you're playing players... And, you know, I will put Chiesa in this bunch. Mm-hmm. I've been very disappointed with Chiesa's attitude and the way he plays on the pitch. You can, like, I get it. Be frustrated, you know, cop a knock here and that. You retaliate and all that. But with a guy like that, and I put even like a player like Kostic that, he gets fair enough goes as it is. He can't even get a decent cross into the box. You know? Even McKennie, as much as McKennie's probably been one of our best players all season, he was disappointing too. I mean, and Locatelli, what has happened to Locatelli? He's fallen off the perch.
He's really, really fallen off the perch.
And I don't get it. Like, I understand we would like to see him go forward more because we know he's capable of going into the box and putting pressure. But the reality is he's in that position. We've seen some really good moments. But what has happened to him too?
There's so many players that just have lost their mojo, their motivation, impetus, and so forth. But, you know, to go back to that question, what do you do? This is actually really difficult, but I think you've actually got to sack the manager.
Oh.
Now, you might say, and a lot of people might say, just sack him. But hold on. Yeah. I actually don't know if it is that simple. Because
tell the listeners why. Tell us why.
I actually think the management has made a decision. And that is more than likely this. We're not proceeding with Max next season. We've earmarked probably Motta for the job, but we can't talk to him. We can't, well, we can't get him at the moment because Bologna's never, ever, given their predicament, they're in fifth and breathing down their, our neck, never, ever going to let go of him at this point in time.
So yes. So the club's willing to...
We can't even talk to him.
So they're willing to risk fourth position at the moment. I mean, we should be...
It's not simple, Ricardo. It's not, because if we have earmarked a Mokka, or let's unpack this. May as well do it now.
Go for it.
If we've stayed behind the scenes, talk to, say, a Zidane, and Zidane has said, yeah, look, I'll jump, I'll even come next week. Last year match, I'm ready, because I've got nothing. I don't have anything tying me down at the moment. But what if Zidane says, I'm ready to come across right now, but I want, I don't know, 12, 15 million a year in wages, more than what Max is on. And fair enough too. He's proven to be a much better manager than Max.
I would pay that.
Yeah. He could be saying, well, guys, you're paying 9 or 10, give or take, to Max. I want 12 or 15. The board is going to say, ooh, that's a hell of a lot of money.
But you bring sponsors, players.
It may or may not work. God. Oh. It's a hell of a risk. Do we better the devil you know? So if we have done that and we've hit a wall, or we've, say, got a Mokta, as I say, but he's not going to come across, or got a Klopp, but he's not going to come across because he's committed to Liverpool, or got, name a couple of other players, managers, a Xabi Alonso, who's doing wonders by a Labour position. Xabi Alonso is going to say the same thing. Hey, guys, I've almost won the Bundesliga. Yeah, I'm happy to talk, but not right now. It's March. Let's talk in June. What do you do? Can you sack Max now then? I think you still do. And here's what I would do. Sack Max and you put in his assistant as the caretaker coach. As a caretaker coach.
I agree with you on that one, but I don't think he will do it because obviously the relationship with Max. I think if he was the go, they'll all go. That's just my opinion on that. But if you get to a desperate situation, I think you couldn't go past a former legend of the club, bring him in and just say, hey, mate, there's this amount of games and go for it. And that's Montero.
Montero.
Yeah.
But see, this is also where, again, it gets tricky. Because even with the assistant coach idea as interim, the cynic may well say, well, he's part of Max's staff.
That's it.
How much is he going to change things up? His thinking is probably like Max's. And it may work. He may have great new ideas, but it may also not work. So maybe we're just better off sticking with, you know, the better the devil we know. Same with the Montero. Yeah, he's doing pretty well with the under-19s, but he's inexperienced. We know what happened when we elected someone inexperienced, like Andrea Pirlo. It didn't really work out. Irony is, you look back now, Andrea Pirlo actually did pretty good in comparison. You know, he finished fourth. He won two trophies. I actually think it's not as simple as saying, let's sack the coach, because I certainly think the club is now, I'll put it this way, I would be surprised if the club has said, given the last 7-8 weeks, geez, we're pretty much done with Max. But the problem now we face is, do we keep him on or do we sack him? Because
I'm worried.
Yeah, we've earmarked Mokta. You can't then go out and get, like, could we have done this? Could we have gotten, say, someone like an Igor Tudor, who's now going to go to Lazio, who was out of work? Yeah. Could we have called up Igor Tudor and said, Igor, you're out of work at the moment. We need you. You know the club. You're a former player. You were with the club as a player and a coach very recently, assistant to Andrea Pirlo.
Yep.
We're only going to give you a 4-month contract because hands on heart, we're really looking at Motta. But if you can really show us something in the next 3-4 months, we'll have a look at you post-June. But even if it can't all be bad, because even if it's only 4 months, but you can turn it around and we then let you go, you put yourself in the shop window. Should we have done that? Too late now, because he's going to Lazio. And I actually think he'll do quite well at Lazio.
Yeah.
But this is actually where I think it can't be as simple as let's just sack the coach, because I'm sure that we probably have spoken to someone like Zidane, who has probably said, yeah, boys, I'd love to come back. I've got a huge soft spot for Juventus in my heart. I was a former player. I made my name there. I have unfinished business. I never won the Champions League with Juventus. But I think dollars is going to be the issue, isn't it?
I mean, look,
I don't know what you do. I don't know if it's as simple as just sack the coach.
But if we don't do something, and I said this to a couple of my mates overseas on other shows that they, you know, do podcasts and that, I think if something doesn't happen sooner rather than later, I'm worried that we'll miss Champions League. That's honest truth. Fourth position. Yeah. And I told you and Anthony how many months ago about that. Like I wasn't sold by Max's, you know, ideas and where he was going with the club. I said, I think it was fourth. You guys were going, Scudetto.
Second.
Stuff. Yeah.
Maybe it was Scudetto. Yeah.
I wasn't confident because it's the same game style, same system. He started with a different system at the start of the season and he's reverted back to old ways. I mean, the
sad thing is we're playing woeful football at the moment, but he hasn't actually even – you'd think a coach would say, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is, do fix it.
Where's the plan B, Mark?
3-5-2's not working, yeah. So you'd think that someone with a little less pride, a little less ego would say, well, it's on me, because 3-5-2 was kind of working. You know, we had a lot of lucky wins, but we'll get the 3 points. But in the last 2 months, it clearly isn't working. Chiesa is frustrated. He's extremely frustrated. There's tension there simmering. Mm-hmm. Probably because I'm not playing him in his position. The team's not doing well with 3-5-2. He's probably my best player. Yeah. I really got to do something else now. Go to a 4-3-3 or maybe keep a back three, but a 3-4-3 or something like that.
And look what they're doing now. And look what they're doing now. They're shopping around for another striker. Honest truth is to our listeners now, if you cannot tell me different, they know that Kears is probably looking for another club. And I wouldn't blame him to leave too, because, you know, like he's been played at a position with Max. Attitude doesn't show much desire, but I feel he's going to be gone. That's honest truth.
Yeah.
And Yildiz is a perfect example of what I wanted to tell you, Mark. You play him ongoing and then you hit Empoli. And then you come out with that bullshit saying, he was not looking, I don't know, well or whatever.
He was getting a little bit cocky.
Mark, seriously. And our fans out there too, we see it, we know it. Why would you do that? And since then, it's all been downhill. And it comes down to management.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
You know, I'm contradicting myself, but I've said you'd sack the coach, but it's not that easy. But I still think it's really, really tenderhook stage now, and you say, let's just go for broke and sack the coach, and you hope that that actually has a psychological impact on the players. The message is sending, and I think Juntuli, and this is where Nedved was great.
Yep.
He would have gone into the dressing room, right? He's not there anymore for reasons which we know well and truly. He's not there, but maybe someone like Juntuli has got to go into the dressing room the day they sack Max and say, now look, you all thought that his job was safe.
Yep.
He's just gone. We've just sacked him. No one's job is safe now. That includes you. And you start pointing fingers at the big name players.
That's right.
And you're saying, you've really got to prove yourself, or else come 30 June, we're going to ship you out if we don't make the Champions League. You want to be playing at the most elite levels? If we don't make Champions League, it's on you. And you just make that statement and say, nobody's job is safe. And look at Exhibit A.
Do you know what?
Former manager, Max Allegri.
Yeah. Do you know what I actually expect, like, I would do? If I was in the position of Giuntoli and I went at halftime into the rooms, do you know what I would have said? Let me just play you something, what I would have said in the changing rooms.
I think I know.
Come. You ready? And this is said very nicely. Wouldn't that get you motivated to go out the second half and do something? Honest truth is... I wouldn't know what to...
I don't know. If I had that, I'd be reacting like this. I'd be laughing.
No, but the honest truth is, this is a clown show. It's a clown show. And do you know what? For the amount of money the players are being paid, we're talking about Vlahovic and certain players in our club. For that rubbish they dish out, I mean, an amateur team here in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, could do better than what they were doing. It was disgraceful, shameful.
Yeah.
And they're putting on a top that has got such a pedigree in history. The people that fought for that top are in their graves rolling over. That is disgraceful. Yeah. And those players, after the game, mate, no talking, no nothing. I would just say, get the hell out of this rooms, have a good hard look at yourselves, and come back at training and do bloody something, because this is not acceptable. That's it.
You've just hit the nail on the head. You know, we have spoken at length about where we think the biggest problem lies.
Yep.
And we both agree. That's probably Max Allegri, because he hasn't turned it around in the last 8 weeks. No. He hasn't changed the formation. He's stuck with Kostic. He dropped him, but he started again today. Played Kjaer out of position. The formation, not changing that, et cetera, et cetera. But also, you just said it. The coach is not the player that puts... the coach is not the guy who puts the jersey on. Because the players could get their instructions, but they could say, we have no respect for him, but we have respect for the shirt, and we're going to still play for the shirt, and we now call the shots from the first minute.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of it also has to rest with the players. The only logical explanation I can try and give is that the players have checked out. They're no longer playing for the manager anymore, and they're actually, God forbid for me saying this, actually on purpose playing like this.
I reckon you're right. That's what I said to the boys last night on the chat. Yeah, on this chat with who I was talking to on the chat. The same thing. They aren't playing for the coach. Mm. They don't care.
But the irony with that is, though, that they've got to be careful because they may not make Champions League. And
the World Club Championship, do we still make it?
Yeah. Do we? I'm not entirely sure. But you've got to be careful with that because if you're a Chiesa, Vlahovic, a Bremer, et cetera, there may be clauses in your contract that says we'll dock your pay 20%. If Juventus doesn't qualify for the Champions League, because we just don't have the funds to pay you as much. So we'll pay you 10 million a year for each and every year. I'm just coming up with hypotheticals. 10 million a year for each and every year that we qualify for the Champions League.
Yep.
But in a year, in any given year, if we don't, you only get 8. And then the player says, oh, well, that doesn't matter. I'll go to Liverpool or Man City or here or there and get something else. But will they start? Will they, you know, it's a bit like changing jobs. It may work, but it may not work. And, you know, someone like Chiesa, who lives in Italy, he's probably very happy living and in Italy, being Italian and so on and so forth. Part of me thinks, are they actually throwing it? But they've got to be very careful if they don't qualify for the Champions League. Anyway, enough of that. Perhaps we give our
Do you want to do the ADP award votes? Alessandro Del Piero, which... Come on, Juventus. Come on, players. Mate, this guy bled for the club. And if you want to use a player as an example of how much we love Juventus, I mean, it's Alessandro Del Piero. But, mate, who did you pick for your best player in this game?
Can you play that guy screaming again? Because that is how difficult it is for me to come up with a player who actually plays well and is deserving of the ADP. I don't really think there was anyone that played extremely well. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give it to Bremer. He didn't have to do a lot, but he was a bit of a wall in defence. Tech as well, he only had to make two saves.
Yeah.
Both were very good. God, it would have been very embarrassing if we had 17 shots on goal. They had five and one of them went in. But really difficult to find. You know, when I'm talking Bremer and Tech, I'm thinking if you're giving grades out of 10,
yeah,
six and a half, not eight and a half.
Mm.
Which is, that's what an ADP should be getting.
Yeah.
That's how flat this performance was from the 15-16 guys that were on the field.
So have you got a player that would you give award points or not?
As I say, Bremer.
Okay, Bremer.
Yeah.
So Mark's going with Bremer.
How about yourself?
I'm giving it to nobody. And it's on the street. I'm actually not giving it to one player on the ground. No, I'm being honest with you. And to our listeners, I'm not giving no votes to nobody. And I'll tell you why.
Fair enough.
The reason why is I am disgusted that a club like ours in 2024 plays that absolute rubbish and expects supporters around the world to follow a team of pre-Madonnas at the moment. That's hard for me to say. But they are playing only in spurts of individuals, and they do not play to a game plan. And that's why half of the blame goes to Max and half of it goes to the players. Because at the end of the day, they are friggin' lucky to wear a jersey like Juventus, which as kids growing up, everyone wished they could play for a club like that. Mm. And we idolise. And today we're in our 40s or 50s or whatever age group, and they play that crap. So I'm not giving no votes. So moving on to our Amari Award, the GOAT, that was not. Who was your worst?
This was actually ironically just as hard because there were so many really ordinary performances. Yeah, I could think of Locatelli. I could think of McKennie, but in defence, I think he's a little tired and still not 100%.
They're saying he needs an operation on his shoulder. I don't know if that is full truth, but yeah.
Yeah. I could think Chiesa because he just looked lost.
Yep.
I could think Kostic because he had eight crosses. I think it was eight. None hit the mark.
Yep.
And he's a really close one. He's very close. But I'm actually going to give it, and it hurts saying this because I really like this player, I'm going to give it to Vlahovic.
Mate.
He took, as I said before, seven shots. Not one hit the target. Sure, he got bad service, but come on, those two headers, he should have done better. That was Napoli all over again. But really, the icing on the cake and reason why I'm giving him Grimaldi is for losing his cool in the 93rd minute and getting a red.
Yep.
Because, sure, I know he's frustrated. I know he's not getting a lot of service. Mm. I know he himself is probably looking at himself in the mirror and saying, Dusan, you got to do better. But you got to put that to one side. You got to remind yourself you are a professional and that the club is going through one hell of a difficult time at the moment. And it needs you. Milik is he's rubbish, but he's also injured. Yeah. Keane, well, he hasn't scored all bloody season.
Yeah. I agree with you.
You were suspended last week. You're now going to be suspended against Lazio.
Yep.
The only positive I can see, and sorry, I'm now ranting, but the only positive I can see is he's going to be pretty well rested for April because he would have played bugger all for Juventus in March.
No, I agree
with you.
That's
why I'm doing him the Amaldi.
And he's mine as well. So he cops a double whammy. And in saying that, Mark, I'm going to go into the famous Mark's question without notice. And you know what, Mark? I totally agree with you, Vlahovic. I love him, but, mate, he let the club down in this game. Because if he wants to be a leader, that was piss poor, mate.
Yeah. So, Mark... We don't get the 3 points today, but the club needs me.
Oh, mate.
I can't lose my cool and be suspended for a game like last year. He's got a new coach.
And
we all know about my theory, the new coach theory.
Yeah.
Things usually do well the first few weeks they have a new coach.
Insane hey, Mark. Wow. It's question without notice. What's your question, buddy? Hit us.
Well, this is... We could do this with a lot of players over the next few weeks, but you sort of hinted at this, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago as well, but let's unpack it a little more considering what we've seen the last few weeks. What do you make of Manuel Locatelli's future with the club? This is the guy who, until recently, we were touting as a future captain.
Mm.
Does he have a future with Juventus from next season, considering one, the way he's playing, and two, the way Barrenechea is playing at Frosinone, or even the way, what we've, albeit very small sample size, what we've seen from Caviglia in his appearances?
I agree with you, Mark. I'm worried about Locatelli. I feel... Well, just kick the bloody bin here, mate, because I'm frustrated. I agree. I actually agree with everything you just said because I expected a bit more from Locatelli and he's been so disappointing. And is it because, like, is he not playing for the coach as other players aren't? I mean... He could be making a statement right now, but he's not making a statement. It's actually really disappointing to see what he's doing.
And, you know, the point you just made, he's maybe not playing well because he's not happy with the coach, conspiracy type theory, but he wasn't actually playing all that well when we were playing well.
Yeah.
We were saying, oh, I was expecting more and so on. I just think he's really... A bit like Rabiot this season.
Yeah.
Form's really fallen off the cliff.
Mate, Rabiot's another one.
He's really only starting. Yeah.
Mate.
He's only starting because it's slim pickings in midfield. You know, I look back and think, well, God, why did we get rid of someone like Robella?
Yeah.
He could have been pushing it. But it didn't happen. And I've got some serious question marks over whether Locatelli stays or goes come June.
Do you know what?
And he's giving away others are playing.
I reckon if an offer comes, they wouldn't hesitate to look at an offer. As much as we... Because I actually feel that Juventus has been run like a business. Now, I've been saying this for such a long time since the logo's been changed. Things have, you know, like COVID prior and after... It hurts me to say this, but I think Locatelli, if an offer came, they wouldn't hesitate to look at it. And that's with a couple of other players that we got at the club too. I mean, Bremer's another one. Bremer's another one. That ain't growing trees. But you hear so much. And yeah, like, I agree with you, Mark. I think
we may be forced to sell Bremer if we don't make the Champions League.
Well, that's true. There'll be other players too that would leave the club too if an offer comes. And more than likely there will be offers. But again, it's the management. Is he going to be there for the last year of his contract? Because that would be devastating, because I can see multiple players leaving, and he's not a coach for the future generation players. That's what I feel. We need to be seeing another coach come in with different ideas, with a bit of experience, if it's Zidane, Motta, and the third one could be maybe a foreign player from another league. I don't know, but... Yeah, something really needs to happen and happen pretty soon, Mark. So, yeah, I agree with you, mate. I feel that Locatelli has just fallen off the perch.
He has. He has. And the only thing that might fix it is it could be confidence. And the only way he could get out of it is going to the Euros. And I'm not actually sure if he does go to the Euros or not. The only thing that may take him to the Euros,
even Chiesa,
is that we don't actually have the midfield that we had, say, 3 years ago when we went to the Euros.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tonali won't be there, for instance. Jorginho probably will, but you perhaps can't rely on him because he's older. Verratti's not the same player. So, Balletti, coach of Italy, will say, well, Locca's not playing brilliantly, but I can't rely on Verratti anymore. Tonali suspended. Oh, well, I'll just take Locatelli because he knows the system. And you hope that he has a standout competition and that he brings that back with him come June.
But I agree.
I just don't know if I can, given what I've seen for about 6 or so months now, let's be honest.
Yep, I agree.
So... Watch this space, huh?
You watch this space, but Mark, it's
time for your rant,
mate. It's been coming for the last couple of weeks. I mean, last night I nearly threw the red Peroni through the plasma. Last night it was making me sick. I was going to have the Magnesi at about 1 a.m. in the morning, feeling a bit ashida, throwing up. Sensation coming through my mouth, but oh mate, this one's a big one. It's Ricardo's rant. Special mention to Mickey Mars out there, mate. Mickey, love the YouTube doco on Van Halen, mate. It is the king, and he cemented that. But to the rant. Okay, where do we start? Okay, so I'm a passionate Juventus fan like you are, Mark. It ain't acceptable anymore. Time to move on. Go, Max. Out. Finished. Aiuto. Get someone in there. Finish the rest of the season off. Finish fourth and let's start over again. But to the owners of Juventus, you can't run it like a business. Reason being, we've got a pedigree in history. And the old lady deserves more than what has been happening at our club. And I will never accept that rubbish and that shit, pardon the expression, that he's been dished out for the last 7 games. He's on good coin. He's the highest paid. The manager's been paid the most for that rubbish. And I will not accept that. And no Juve fan will accept this. And now I'm going to hit Chiesa. Chiesa, grow some knackers and play what you're capable of doing. Don't be a Barella, Pasta Barella, that rolls around, and we need you doing what you need to do best. And to the rest of the team, players like Rabiot, I don't know what is going on with you, buddy. If mum's telling you in the ear, hey, you know, buying. No, no, no. You're on good coin. It's not acceptable. And two, players like Kostic, mate, what is going on with you, buddy? Oh. We got you to the club for a reason, to get some crosses in, do the runs. Mate, you're not even doing that consistently. You're on, off, you're off, off, and then on. Not good enough. And also, too, Ilian Jr. should be getting game time. Yildiz should be getting game time. Moise Keane, out the door. Go do your rap career, out. But I'll end this with this rant in saying this. I love the old lady, and the old lady's hurting. And us fans have had enough. Management and owners of Juventus, this goes out to you. If you don't want to give your fans what they deserve, sell the club and move on. And I'm not accepting what rubbish has been done for the last 7 to 8 weeks, because we're going to miss the Champions League and it's going to be all downhill. And that's my rant. Mark.
Good rant. That song, Motley Crue's Rock and Roll Junkie, singer, Vince Neil.
Yeah.
I love Motley Crue. I still do to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to love Vince Neil as a singer, but he was recently voted one of the worst singers going around at the moment. Who's worse, Vince Neil as a singer or Max Allegri as a manager?
Mate.
I'm assuming that you, like me, think that Vinnie Neil's voice is nowhere near what it used to be.
No, it's nowhere near it, but if you really want to know, Mark, and to our listeners, Juventus makes me sick. And when I'm going out I was going to grab the Magnesi last night. When Nuna gives you the Magnesi as a kid, it fizzes up and you drink it and it's coming from your nostrils and stuff like that. Mate, last night I nearly chewed on it raw because it was making me physically sick watching Juventus play like that.
No, I just said Vinci was a better singer.
I reckon better performer and knows what he's doing than what Max is doing. Max is your ex-girlfriend where the first time around, she was so good, so hot, you loved it. Second time around, it ain't the same. And why did they take that option?
Well, I think it's because he used to have breakfast each and every morning with our former president in a very well-known park in Torino.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that he and had a mental blank. He was our former president. They were like brothers, extremely good friends. And Andrea felt very, very guilty. If the rumours are believed, it wasn't Andrea that sacked Max 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It was our former disgraced technical director. Again, I've had a mental blank. He went to Spurs and he's no longer at Spurs. Before Conte. He really pushed it. The man who also pushed Pepe Marotta, to Inter. And look how well they are going under Marotta. Please help me. Who am I talking about?
Mate, I've lost. Hang on.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, we all know who you're talking about. I've had a mental block.
The club went really downhill after Marotta went and that guy. I can't remember his name. That probably just shows what I think.
Because the prick stuck is no longer stuck in the head because he's left thing with the Spurs. But
he got banned for some very dodgy transfer dealings and the like. He would sign Ronaldo, but then he would keep Khedira and Matuidi as our midfielders. You know, you can't go buy the house in Brighton, Cristiano Ronaldo, or put IKEA furniture in it, or not even Freedom furniture in the house in Brighton. It just doesn't work, does it? And that's what he did. The Freedom furniture was Blaise Matuidi and Sammy Khedira, and the house in Brighton was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Was he a obviously not the manager. What was he, assistant? No.
No, he wasn't the assistant. He was the technical director and he basically pulled the strings, you know, between the board and in the club. He oversaw a lot of the transfer dealings, oversaw a lot of who got contract extensions and lucrative ones and so on and so forth. If any of our listeners can help me here and hit us on our Facebook page, remind me.
Johan Lang or whatever his name is, a technical director, but I can't remember.
He was Italian.
He's past, you know why? Because he's hurt me so much, I've forgotten about him.
That's like me. But yeah, it's just not good.
No, it's not good. And the thing is,
Fabio Paratici.
There you go, mate. That's it, mate. And I'll put this to Shimonito.
You tell our show he's wise.
Oh, mate. He signed up Ramsey, mate. He signed up Ramsey.
He signed up Rabiot.
Rabiot's
been good. Season three, but I think he did. He was spectacular in. He was very good in season two.
Yeah.
Spectacular in season three, but his first and last seasons, I'm not sure. Well, this current season, he's just been okay. His first season was woeful. But yeah, Aaron Ramsey,
say that. I don't know what to say anymore, mate, because I'm shattered. I'm absolutely shattered to look in saying that, Mark. We come to the end of our podcast. I know it's been a couple of weeks. To our listeners, we do apologize. We've had some things happen. And Mark, you can catch us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcast. Our Facebook page is the Three Juventinos, JFC Melbourne Gigi Buffon, Twitter, which is X, and Instagram. Mark, any final words before we leave our podcast?
Let's hope we see a different Juventus on Easter Saturday when we next play Lazio, who's under the tutelage of Igor Tudor.
Mate, I can't believe it.
Former assistant coach and player of Juventus.
Not much I could say about that, mate. But to our listeners, you've been listening to the Three Juventinos, and we'll see you in the next podcast.